Hello, hello, testing. Morning. Can you hear me? Yes, good to be here. Thank you, Pastor Ben, for the opportunity to share with you the Word of God. I'm a little tired because yesterday we had a conference. I had to speak for three sessions. And last night, because of the preaching today, so I went to bed late because I was nervous. Okay, the reason I'm nervous because English is not my primary language. Okay, so this is one of the reasons. And another reason is that Pastor Ben wanted me to lose my tie. Don't preach with a tie. And you know that it's very difficult for me to preach without a tie. How can I lose my last name? So after 1 week of struggling, I decided, yes, I can lose my identity because my identity is not in Thai, but in Christ. Amen? So I'm quite flexible now. So thanks to Pastor Ben. I thought wearing coat and wearing tie would make me look older, right? Let's get this over with. I know you are asking how old I am, right? I'm not too old and I'm not too young. It's just right in the middle. Younger than Reverend Luke Chai, 3 years younger than him. Do you know his age? Never? You don't know? Yeah, I know his age. But I'm not as old as he is. I'm privileged to be here. So I just introduce you to my family. Can you do the PowerPoint for me, please? Is the PowerPoint on? Yes, that's my family. So I have no tie. I brought my whole bunch of ties. So that's my family, my wife, and three beautiful children. So thankfully, and the eldest, Anastasia, is in her third year in Biola, and Timothy in second year UCLA, and the third one is only 12 years old. But we are thankful for them. They are together because of the pandemic. So they are together for extra 1.5 years. So it was good. So it's almost time to go again. So we feel sad, but the Lord have mercy on us. Another thing I want to say to you, as I said earlier, English is not my primary language. I started learning to speak sensible English when I was 21 years old. So I'm only 29 now, see? I'm still learning, and I don't give eloquent speech. But I hope that you can look beyond my grammatical mistakes and my funny accent. It's a combination of accents, okay? It's like Malaysian plus Chinese, Hong Kong, Fuzhou, mostly Fuzhou. Okay, so it's just funny. So look beyond all this, and I hope you will listen to the voice of God speaking through the Bible. I'm only a delivery boy giving you a message, and it is the Holy Spirit who is the revealer of truth and the illuminator of truth, and He will lead you into the truth. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come to you. We pray that your Spirit will move in this place and move in our hearts. And do your work, Lord. And your word go out. As your word goes out, your Spirit moves. You will revive our spirit. Continue to come draw near to you and love you more and live for you more. Father, yes, Lord, we want to be like Jesus, and may the Spirit transform us in the way that we cannot do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How do you feel when I mention the Holy Spirit? Some of us will feel like you are ignorant of it, and some of us will feel terrified by it. No matter how you feel, the Holy Spirit is someone we cannot live without. I don't pretend I'm going to say everything about the Holy Spirit today in 30 minutes. That is impossible because He is God. But we hope that you will come to know the Holy Spirit more and more. Not to avoid him, not to guess who he is. He is the one who is in control of our lives, and we need to know him more and more. It is not a coincidence that the word spirit in Greek, pneuma, I'm not playing Greek word here. Dr. Chai is the Greek expert. I know a few Greek words. Pneuma is my favorite word because it means a lot of things, including wind, breath. But spirit can be used on three different groups of living beings. One is human spirits. Second, evil spirits. Same word, pneuma, put on one adjective, evil, dirty spirit. It refers to Satan and other demons. And then God himself, the Holy Spirit. So one word, three different groups of people or entities, beings. It means somehow they are related in certain way. Mysterious, but they are related in certain way. So they are competing with one another for our attention. Whether we listen to the voice of the devil, spirit, the evil spirit, or listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Most of us watch cartoons, or you don't watch cartoons, you watch fancy animated movies. I used to watch cartoons, and you remember the two beings sitting on your shoulders, right? Imagine that. On the right will be, right is angel, okay? The good angel. The left will be the devil. So they will be talking to you and say, don't eat this. And the devil say, eat it, eat more. And then the angel will say, wake up. You know, 10 o'clock church service. And the devil say, don't wake up, sleep. You need energy to play games. You know, the voices are here all the time. And then we thought there are only two voices out there. But actually, there's one more. It's our spirit. But these two spirits are competing for our spirit, for our attention. So, talking about evil spirit, the evil spirit's voice, do we hear them? Luke chapter 22 and John chapter 13, talking about Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus. And the Bible uses certain verbs to describe how the evil spirit works. That Satan entered Judas. Then Satan prompted Judas. And then Judas started to do his stuff. He was not possessed. Judas was not possessed, like out of his mind and saying crazy things. No, he is still sane and normal, and he went to argue for a price, bargain for a price, and he wants to get his money and betray Jesus. He was still okay, but somehow the evil spirits can prompt a person, can enter, I don't know how, but enter without possessing fully to influence a person. Another example, right after Jesus blessed Peter, said, it is the Father who revealed to you that you will be able to say that who I am, Christ, the Son of the living God, is not from the flesh or blood, is from the Father who revealed this to you. Yes, Peter said, I got it right. But the next thing Jesus said, Satan, get behind me. He said to Peter, get behind me, because you don't have the mind that concerns about the things of God, but you have merely human concerns. Do you see that? Satan, of course, Peter is not a Satan, but somehow his mind, his human mind and his human spirit is inclined toward what Satan wants. Those human spirit can listen, it can go toward or listen to that kind of voice without us knowing it. The next minute, you know, before that was like, whoa, so blessed with the revelation from the Father. The next thing, you cursed because you follow the voice of the devil. Now let's come to the Holy Spirit. The human spirit can talk to us. We want what we want. We want this or that. The evil spirit can also somehow talk to us, not in an audible voice, but somehow prompt us to want to listen or follow this voice. But also the Holy Spirit has a voice too. And how did he speak to us? How does he speak to us? He speaks to us by his scripture, his word, authored by the Holy Spirit himself through his chosen human authors, the saints. Today, the title is called One Spirit to Drink. I like eating and drinking. And in fact, for the past 10 years, I have been developing a series of sermons surrounding this eating and drinking topic. And it's very interesting. The Bible is talking about this a lot. And this is part of the series I have, One Spirit to Drink. Scripture, a spirit, scripture, and saints. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Let's go to the verse. Shall we read it together? Next page, please. 12:13. Could you help me with? Okay, let's read together, shall we? Let's. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. See that? Eating and drinking. I'm not joking. And we can even drink the Holy Spirit. Of course, this is a metaphorical language, but he's using this kind of eating and drinking to help us to know better or know more about our identity and to know more about our God, our Holy Spirit. So let's, if you have your Bible with you, would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? It's very hard for me to put everything on the PowerPoint. I need you to turn into your Bible if you have your Bible with you, or even iPad or iPhone. I don't mind you go up to use that. It's okay, Pastor Ben, right? Yeah, as long as you don't play games, okay? Play Bible games is okay, but not now. So just turn to the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In fact, we have to talk about 13 too and 14. So it's a big chunk we need to look at. So the Word of God is the voice of the Holy Spirit. So just now, Pastor Ben said about the book that I edited. So I would not be able to say everything or even a thing about what I wrote in the first chapter. So do, if you're interested, do look at it, and I hope you will be edified by the writing. Okay, it is not about just reading the Bible when we come to the Word of God. You thought we just read it and we will understand it? Yes, on some level, but that is something deeper. As we remember, just now I said there are two voices try to interfere as we read the Bible. Our own interests, our own voice, and the evil spirit's voice. They're trying to mess up your mind and hope that you won't understand the Word of God. And sometimes for our own interest, we want to use our own way to understand the Bible. Like, for example, Lord, I want to marry, and who should I marry? And you go to the Bible and then pinpoint somebody, and then Sarah. So you keep looking for a Sarah to get married with. So that kind of reading the Bible is not the way that the Bible wants us to read. So, not from own interests, but we have to follow what the Holy Spirit says about how we read it and how we should understand it. So I call this title Spirit, Scripture, and Saints. They are all intertwined. So the Spirit-inspired Scripture is for us, the saints. So for if we want to understand the Scripture, then we need the Holy Spirit, who is the primary author of the Bible, and human authors, disciples, and other chosen instruments of God. They are the human authors. So they are dual authorship. There is a dual authorship, two authors. I mean, one is singular and one is plural. So when you come to understand the Word of God, you have to know that not only you need to know the Holy Spirit, to ask Him to help you to understand Scripture, but also at the same time, you need to have the idea or the method or the way how to understand the human authors. That's why the seminary is here to help you, especially with the second part, how to read the Bible properly with certain methods. And Reverend Luke Chai will help you with that. And he's an expert in this. I learned a lot from him too. So the idea is you need to look at the context and the context and the context, not just one section. You need to understand that not just the immediate context, the whole canonical, the whole Bible, that is your context, because the author, the Holy Spirit, inspired the whole Scripture for 1,000 years. So that is your context. So you need to understand this dual authorship, which I mentioned in the book. The idea is you need to understand the human intention behind the writing. That you have to dig. That you have to know, and also the Spirit's intention behind all this. It's very, very difficult. So is reading the Bible, I'm not scaring you, okay? So from now on, I don't want to read the Bible because I cannot understand it. No, I'm not saying this. You can read and you can understand it, but you don't stay there. You go deeper. You want to know more. So Spirit, what does the Spirit say to us today? Just now, Pastor Ben mentioned about the gifts, the spiritual gifts, and that is the topic that I want to focus in. The Spirit speaks to us through the Scripture about the spiritual gifts. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. So what is the context of this past, this verse? You need to read this verse, and then the verses before it and after it. It's not just about drinking, it's about we were baptized with the Holy Spirit or in the Holy Spirit, and the result of that, we are one body. But with many members, we are different. But we are one body. It's talking about the unity in diversity. Diversity in unity. And that is the message in chapter 12. Because of the Holy Spirit, this metaphorical image, we drink, we all drink. And I wonder why Paul used the drinking image for us. I think one of the reasons is that the Bible also describes the Holy Spirit in a fluid image. Like, for example, Paul himself in Ephesians, he said you don't want to get drunk and be filled by wine. You need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. See, you see the fluid? And but in John, book of John, chapter 4, and connect with chapter 7, Jesus was talking about this. Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit, the water. Remember, Samaritan woman was approaching the well and wanted to draw water. And Jesus said, if you ask me, I'll give you living water. And you will not thirst again. And this is what he was saying to him. And then within you, there is something well up in you and into eternal life. In chapter 7, Jesus talked again about the Holy Spirit, that if you drink what he gives you, and you will not be thirsty again. Once again, he said, within you there will be flowing water from you. And John said he's referring to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is different from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was incarnate. He was in human image, human form. So from now, from then on till forever, after he resurrected, he has the human form, although he is God too, in human form. But not the Holy Spirit. He appeared in many forms throughout Old Testament and New Testament. The most common one is wind, breath, fire, and then here, water. Water. Water that we drink. And then when we drink, it means that we are all one together. All one. But we are different members. But different doesn't mean that we divide. We fight with one another. We should be united. Because this is the work of the Holy Spirit. I give you 3 points today. First is each one. When we come to the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, we need to understand these three important things. Each person, each other, and each time. Look at the passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Verse 7a. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. And then verse 11, one and the same Spirit is active in all this, distributing to each person as he wills. So the Spirit not only speaks to us, but he's telling us that he's given us, each one of us, something. We call it spiritual gift, charismata. What is a spiritual gift? Here the definition, verse 7 is the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. It's sort of a revelation, something that people can see. The Spirit gives this to you. Something that we all can see. But this is not very clear. What does it mean? Wayne Grudem, a very important systematic theologian, he said, a spiritual gift is any ability that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and used in any ministry of the church. So it's any ability that is empowered to build up the church. Some, when we look at the Bible, and the Bible, there are four places, important places talking about the spiritual gifts. And they give you, Paul gave you the list, and Peter gave you the list of spiritual gifts. Try to memorize this. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12. Can you remember that? 4, 4, 12, 12. Okay? It's Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, 1 Corinthians 4, and Romans, 1 Corinthians 12, and Romans 12. 4, 4, 12, 12. They all give you a list of spiritual gifts. And some people, when they read the Bible and say, okay, other than this list of spiritual gifts, no other gifts. But I don't think Paul is intending to do it, to give you a comprehensive list of all spiritual gifts. But he gives you a list by trying to say to you there are too many of them. And each one, we have different gifts. And then we have to recognize this. We may have a gift or more. Whether we are born with a certain talent, or we learn certain skill, or even something we have been given by the Holy Spirit after we become a Christian. For me, spiritual gifts is not just what we get after we become Christian. It's something that we may already have before we become Christian. Something maybe we're born with, something that we learn later. And though all those are spiritual gifts. For example, all the sisters here, they play music, play guitar, and you say to me, no, it's not mentioned in the Bible that, you know, music is one of the spiritual gifts. Playing guitar is one of the spiritual gifts, so that is not spiritual gift. If it's not spiritual gift, then why do you use it here? Are we following the trend of the world that they play guitar, so we put it here? That's why we have arguments and debate in the church in the early days that should we have piano? Should we have guitar? Should we have drum? We all debate, we all argue with one another. But for me, I think Paul is not trying to say all the gifts are here, okay? Try to recognize it. No. I think he's trying to say there are so many gifts. Each person is different and God gives us different gifts. But remember, use it under the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and use it to edify, to build up the church. Each one of us has it. If you don't realize it, then you should realize it now. Big or small, whether you have it before you're Christian or after you're Christian, use it. Use it in a way that will bless the church. And this is the Spirit's work in each one of us. Each believer has it. Do not deny it. Try to discover it. By serving one another, and you will find your gift. Second, each other. Each other. The spiritual gift is given us is for the building up of the people of God, the church as a whole. Just now, 7a is given to us for the common good. Is it possible to just leave it there? Okay. Is it possible to leave it there? Is it on? The passage? Okay, I can't see it, so yeah. So it's for the common good, to for others. That is the idea there. And another verse, could you put it up again for me to see, please? Verse 25. Shall we look at that? 12:25. So that we will be no division in the body, but that the members will have the same concern for each other. Look at chapter 14. Chapter 14 is a continuation of chapter 12, talking about Holy Spirit still, the spiritual gifts, but he's focusing into prophecy and tongue, these two specific gifts. But what is the purpose for this gift? What is the purpose? For each other, for one another, for building up others. That is the idea, for the common good. Look at chapter 14, verse 3 to 5. Listen to my version, mine is CSB. On the other hand, the person who prophesies speaks to the people for their strengthening, encouraging, and consolation. The person who speaks in another tongue builds himself up, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. See that? I wish all of you spoke in other tongues, but even more that you prophesize. Even more you prophesize. So people can understand the person who prophesies is greater than the person who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may be built up. That's the idea. Why do you have the gift? Each one of us has it, not to build up yourself. That is the idea. Not to build up yourself, but to build up others. You use a gift for others, for one another, and you will build up the body of Christ. We are together, and we are depending on one another. And not all have the same gifts, and no one has all the gifts. So just listen to this, pay attention to this. No one has all the gifts. If Pastor Ben has all the gifts, then he is the church. He doesn't need anybody else. It's truly a person, I ask him, and the person say, "I am the church." This is truly, truly wrong. The Bible did not say, "I am the church." We are the church. People gather together. This is the church. I am not the church. I am only a part, a member of the church. No one has all the gifts, and all have different gifts, so that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Imagine the body has all eyes. Can you imagine that? I think you have full of imagination. It's good. Imagine your whole body full of mouth. You cannot sleep at night because they will be talking all the time. And thank God we have 2 ears, 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, and only 1 mouth. But not everybody is mouth, no. But some today, and some churches think that we all should speak in tongues, like all should have mouths, or whole body should be mouths. Imagine that. But the Bible is not telling us different. The Spirit has the power, the right to give you this or not give you this. But somehow people want everybody to speak. Why? Theologically, I asked, I checked, I read. And some people may have some misinterpretation of the Bible or mis-theology, I would say. You wrong theology, bad theology. Because one time I was talking to a brother in Christ, and he is fervent. He wants to serve the Lord. But he talked to me in private and he said, "You know what? It seems like I'm missing something in the Christian life." I said, "What are you missing?" He said, "I'm missing tongue, the gift of tongue." I said, "Why? You want to have this?" He said, "In my understanding, speaking in tongue is the key to open up the door to every other or all other gifts. As long as you have this speaking in tongue gift, you have more and more stuff." And this is their understanding of having the spiritual gift. And other people will say, because this spiritual gift, don't you see that the Bible said, "Oh, you can build up yourself. I want to build up myself so that I can serve others." No, the Bible language, when they say building up yourself, is a negative language compared to prophecies, building up others, and that is the main purpose of a gift. Speaking in tongues, only building up yourself, and that is not the primary reason of having a gift. But people want to have everybody to speak in tongues. It's just like everybody is a mouth on the body, which is not normal. Not normal. Of course, Paul wished that, "I wish everyone could speak in tongue." 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 5. Not only Paul wished a lot of things, but Moses also did too. Moses said, "I wish everybody was prophets." Everybody is prophet. Moses wished that too. Prophet, everybody, prophet. And Paul said, "Everybody speak in tongue." That is his wish, but it's not the Spirit's will. Spirit only wills to give certain gifts to certain people and different gifts to different people. Not every person has the same gift. So that not to divide, but to unite, to serve one another, to build up each other. That is the idea. Third one, each time. And this is the most important thing about spiritual gift. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 31b. Still in chapter 12, but we come to the end. "We all can desire more spiritual gifts. Absolutely, it's okay to ask for gifts. But desire the greater gifts, and I will show you even better way. The excellent way. When you ask for gifts, but I will show you what is the best gift you need to ask for. Each time, I will say, it's about love. If when we use gift each time, we must have love. That's why chapter 13 is sandwiched between 12 and 14, both about spiritual gifts, but 13 about seems like totally disconnected. But no, that is the main stuff. Love. Love when you exercise your spiritual gift. What is love? Verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love that does not envy, is not boastful, is not arrogant, is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not irritable, and does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. Spiritual gifts, what we have now, may change and may cease, but love never ends. Love gifts used for ministries or edification do not always mean the maturity of the individual Christians. The Corinthian church did not lack any gifts. Chapter 1, verse 7. They are full rich with gifts, spiritual gifts, but they were immature in living and believing, in conduct and doctrine. From adultery to idolatry, from acting like a baby to abusing their liberty. They have a lot of spiritual gifts, but they are not mature. Even the non-believing could prophesy, could exorcise demons, perform miracles in the book of Matthew chapter 7. Some people come to Jesus. Jesus said, "Jesus, we cast out demons in your name. We perform miracles in your names. And we prophesy in your name." All seems very spiritual. What did Jesus reply? He said, "I do not know you. Get out of here." Did you see that? People have all the spiritual gifts. But Jesus said, "I do not know you." Those having spiritual gifts does not mean we are mature. Sometimes these are two different things. I can preach, doesn't mean that I'm mature. I have to disconnect this. People can have eloquent speeches, but if I don't have true love of Christ, my gift is nothing. It's useless. It's only building up myself if I speak it honestly. Gifts are not signs of maturity of an individual, but tools used in love for the maturity of the church, to build up the whole church of God. That is the excellent way. Gifts with love each time. Gifts from the Spirit should not and does not create disunity, but promote unity in the Spirit. So first thing first, before exercising our spiritual gifts, we must exercise love. Or we rather not use it. Because if not out of love we use a gift, we may offend people, harm people, hurt people, rather than building up people. I have to tell you the truth, I also eager to have tongue gift, speaking in tongue. That is, before I went to seminary, a brother of mine, still a good brother of mine, he is very charismatic. He is a very good preacher. Until now, he is a very good preacher still. He's a professor in preaching in Malaysia. And I look up to him. So one time, I asked him, "So what is it, this speaking in tongues. So he told me a lot of things, and he said, "Do you want to have it?" I said, "Can I have it?" He said, "Yes, you pray for it, you ask for it, and you will have it." He's so certain about it. And then he wants me to kneel down, and then he lay his hand on me and pray for me. Whoa, I was on fire, man. I was so ready. I closed my eyes. "Lord, I want this tongue gift." By the way, I'm not speaking down on speaking in tongues. I believe that is still this kind of gift. But of course, most cases are very doubtful. But I still believe that tongues still exist. So I ask, I pray. And then you know what? My brother asked, told me. And then he said, "I already prayed for you." And he spoke in tongues in front of me. I didn't know what he was saying. But he kept praying in tongues. And then I was like, oh, on fire. But somehow in my heart, he wanted me to just open your mouth and speak in tongue. I was so ready, but somehow my mouth was sealed. My lips were sealed. I couldn't open up. I said, maybe because of my personality, I'm a shy guy, okay? I'm a low-profile person. I don't want to do anything in front of people. So I say, "Yes, I know I have it. I know I have it. But I don't want to speak it here. I want to go to my bedroom, and I do it inside." He said, "Okay." And then finally, he gave up on me. He said, okay, "I'll let you be. You know, just, but you know that you need to be sure you have it." So after that, he went away, and I went to my bedroom. And I kneeled down before the Lord, saying, "Lord, I was so certain I have it." And I started speaking in tongues. I started like not saying the words that I do not understand. But I feel good. I feel like energized. But after a while, I feel like, is that all? Is that all what I'm seeking to feel better about all this, that I have these gifts? But when I come to seminary and learn more and more, I found out that, no, not all have the same gifts. The Spirit is the one who distributes it, is according to His own will, whoever and whenever. And He has the right to take it back too, to give it to you, to take it back, and on whoever. And I also learned that I'd rather have something that to build up the church rather than build up myself. Yes, I may have it, or I don't have it, this spiritual gift of speaking in tongues. I'm not sure still whether I have it or not, but seems I experienced it once. But now the focus is not to edify me, myself, whether I have good spirituality or not. But the point is, do I build up others? And that's why from then on, I started to seek for a gift that was for you, that was help you to understand. That's why Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter 14, he said, instead of speaking 10,000 words of tongues, I'll rather speak 5 words that people can understand to build them up. Can you see the big contrast here? And that is the message the Holy Spirit is giving to us, that we need to seek the gift to build up each other and do it in love. When I was a kid, during the pandemic time, my time's over, I know. But the Holy Spirit moving, you cannot control me, okay? So let me keep going. During the pandemic time, my youngest one, she is now 12 years old, Annabelle. She started to learn baking herself, and also some drawing. And she draws something that, at least from in my perspective, is really beautiful, that me at her age, I would never do that kind of drawing. But she just drew something from her mind, and then she just drew it. Followed some sketches, and then she drew it. And I'm show you one of them. You may not be able to see it. This is one of them. A horse. In my perspective, this is beautiful. And I found out, and I saw this, and I did I just come to her and I, to her fingers and say, "Wow, you can, your fingers can perform this kind of miracle? Wonderful." No, I won't talk to her fingers. I will talk to her face, okay, in her face. Talk to her face and look at the head of her and say, "Annabelle, that is beautiful." In the same way, we are the parts of the body, individual parts. When we use the gift intended by the Holy Spirit, all of us have it. Use it in love. Use it for building others up. Eventually, people see. They don't see us. They will see the head. The head of the body, which is Christ himself. So if we use the gifts in a way to point others to us, then we are not doing it right. Not doing according to what the Spirit says. Pointing to Christ. That is what he wants. Let us pray. Father, we come to you, Lord. Forgive me for my limitation. But since you have called me to build up your church, may the Lord continue to use me. And each one of us here, Lord, we want to discover this gift that you have given us, to develop it, eventually to deploy it in love to bless others for your church, so that this body will become mature according to the image of Christ. May you bless us, each one of us. Father, we know that this is your will, and hope we pray that we will live in a way that according to your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.